Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Andrew McKenna from TalkSport. We're out in Sri Lanka covering the England cricket tour. As well as exclusive live ball-by-ball coverage of the Test series, TalkSport are also giving you a podcast. It's published daily. It's called Following On and covers all the news and views around the tour. It's full of player interviews, reaction and analysis from TalkSport's team of experts, including Darren Goff, Jared Kimber and Matt Prior. Oh yeah, and also some of me. We'll be rounding up each day of action from the Test matches, plus the news from all the other days on tour. You can subscribe now by going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favourite podcast app. Search for the Following On Cricket Podcast. Subscribe now and never miss a show.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Now, I was quite shocked to discover at the top of the show that Andy had watched 90 minutes of a non-league team. So, you'll hear what unfolded
I loved it. A bit of local.
Hampton and Richmond.
Lower league FA Cup football, so that was good.
Yeah.
We talked about the 1918 papers. I even went through the 1918 papers.
Andy still got a few copies at home when he was a kid. They used to have them delivered.
That's right, yeah. Glenn Moore came in.
Yeah, he's a nice man, isn't he? He's a Sheffield Wednesday fan.
And comedian.
Yeah.
And that was that, really.
That was it, really. That's the crux of it. Oh, yeah, some TV formats for one of the Oldham staff and former player.
That was fun, yeah.
So here it is.
I watched the Hampton and Richmond against Oldham. It was actually quite a good game. It was about the same quality as the Copa Libertadores final the night before. It was.
I mean, with a non-league football, one of the great... If I watch non-league football at home, I stand up for the whole game with a pint in my hand because I feel like I'm making a point.
Yeah. It's true. The ground is a bit different to the Bombonera, though, Hampton and Richmond. But I quite like it. I thought there was, shed-like stands, the trees behind. Yeah, it was all right.
What
really.
A shame. Obviously not if you're an Oldham fan, but what a shame that they got done at the end like that. It's two sucker punches.
Yeah, it was a bit unfortunate. But also unfortunate was Jose Baxter because he always had a touch of class about him, the former Everton, but he got a really nasty, horrible injury.
Oh, did he?
Was a shame.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was. And it looked like being a really terrible night for Oldham, but they did manage to turn it around, as you say. And their manager, of course, is Frank Bunn, the former left-back. We'll probably remember him from their great days.
The man who got six goals in a game.
That's
don't you remember?
Right. I don't remember that, but I do remember him playing for Oldham. And I do think TV formats, he's perfect.
I think... his news is kind of his zeitgeisty show, Current Bun.
Yeah.
Obviously, that would be one, wouldn't it? I'm sure we must have done this before.
I don't think we have. Iced Bun, that's his ski show. That's his skiing show. Sticky Bun. Frank takes a look at the world of...
can you qualify that, please?
Frank takes a look at the world of adhesives. That's all right, isn't it?
Wow, that's a dry show.
And Frank's Guide to Pregnancy for Men, Bun in the Oven.
Oh, that's very good. That's quite like a sort of antenatal show. I'm Frank.
I'll throw it to them, but I did have one final one.
Some plays for Barry, doesn't he?
Does he?
Yeah, well,
I didn't know that.
Harry,
Hot cross bun. Frank locks two people who hate each other in a sauna. The one who gets the most angry wins the car.
I like that. What a good See, that's a good format.
I like it.
Because if you put much like if you put people in the jungle, if you put two people that don't like each other in a sauna,
yeah,
and you slowly turn the temperature up.
You imagine it would work, wouldn't
it's
it?
It's a great format. All they're wearing is towels. So that kind of ups the ante. I don't know why it does.
Could be like Jodie Marsh and Jordan, Katie Price.
I mean, that's not very zeitgeisty, Andy. That wouldn't be in current bun, would it? You can't think of two people that don't get on any more recently than that.
Well, who? That's what? Who doesn't get on?
It's so great. It's nice that you do a 10-year-old reference as opposed to a 50-year-old one. Oh, Mother Goose and Rob Wilton. That was one. Let's get them in. Let's get. I mean, they may have got on. Not that I'm suggesting at all that those five music hall acts were not friends.
And I tell you what was quite odd. Gary McCann, who's the manager of Hampton and Richmond,
He
moved from Hendon. And when he moved from Hendon, a lot of his players moved with him. But Alan Dowson, he moved from Hampton and Richmond to Woking.
Yeah.
And he took a lot of his players to Woking.
Yeah.
So what happened with the Woking manager when he moved? Did he take all his players? But he didn't actually, because I looked it up. He's the assistant manager to Michael Jolly at Grimsby. It is, what's his name? I can't even find his name now. Lost it.
I love the way you've become so attached and interested in non-league football.
Yeah.
It'd be great if that... I mean, it happens in a minor way in the Premier League, doesn't it? A guy goes to a new club and maybe tries to sign one or two.
Mm.
But you don't get that. I mean, remember,
you wouldn't get that, though, would you?
Farnborough were decimated, weren't they?
It took me ages to do all this research. I had to look through Grimsby's squad to see if they'd had anybody from Woking. They hadn't.
Obviously, the game wasn't holding your attention.
Well, not really,
to see you on Wiki going through the Grimsby squad. He was a striker, frankly. Yeah. He wasn't a left-back. You said left-back earlier on. He didn't get six goals from left-back.
I thought it was a left-back.
No, played up front.
Sorry,
and, he did. He scored six in a 7-0 victory, six goals against Scarborough. In the League Cup. That kind of put him on the map many years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, well done to him. That's good.
89, that was. Just on the cusp of when Oldham, you know, the plastic pitch and the Great Cup run and everything. It was a good time for him.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you, I did enjoy watching. He was good value, actually. Mm. Chris Dixon. We talked about him, didn't we? Larry Dan told us about him. He said he was the player to watch.
Good player.
What a character. Former Ghanaian international.
Mm.
And really been around the block, but played for loads of clubs, a lot of Cypriot clubs, and played for 3 years at Charlton, just at the end of their better years. But he took the penalty and, it was...
Good pen, wasn't it?
Good
saw
pen,
that.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, Andy. It's great that you're so engaged.
Yeah.
You're so engaged with non-league football.
Well, I said to the wife, there's no other football this week, so I'm going to watch this. And, well, actually, there is the England game.
Did she watch Hampton and Richmond Borough?
No,
she didn't. With you?
No, she didn't. But we did watch, on your recommendation, it was really marvellous. I haven't quite finished watching it yet, the show, Peter Jackson's show on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's amazing.
About the First World War. It's a really moving, incredible programme, as you said to me. And,
you're
absolutely spot on. The footage is just amazing, absolutely amazing. To take this old footage and turn it into modern-looking footage just brings it home. It was
labour of love.
I do recommend it. It was an excellent programme.
As Ali Ross recommended, follow it right through. Mm. I mean, it kind of felt, I don't know, watching it on TV, I felt duty-bound. To kind of salute the people that put this together, I stayed right to the end. You don't always stay for the credits, do you?
No, but the way it was done.
But there was this huge list of people who put all this together. The hours and hours of painstaking work to make it look realistic and sound realistic. It's called They Shall Not Grow Old. It's a documentary that Peter Jackson, the guy you probably better know from the Lord of the Rings films, put together. It's all the archive. And we played some of the audio last week. We played a little piece about the football that was used when
that
the guys
in
went
there,
over the
it?
Top
there,
in the
right,
song.
That little bit was in there. Yeah.
And it's all from the Imperial War Museum. They did a fantastic series. I think it's still available online. It's Voices of the First World War. And it's just the archive. It's just the guys who experienced it, the men and women who experienced the First World War, German and Allied forces and British forces, just telling their story. And if you haven't seen it yet, you've got to watch it. It's a must watch. It's a work of, and they're saying it could be up for an Oscar now. They weren't going to give it US release, but because it was built really around the British experience. But it's been picked up. And
the moment, is it that moment when it changes from the black and white to the colour is just a sensational TV moment. It's brilliantly done.
So check it out.
Talking of TV in a much lesser way, far, far lesser way. On this day in 1965, the F word was used on British TV for the first time by the art critic Kenneth Tynan.
Yeah, yeah.
How many times has it been used since? And that's apart from Wayne Rooney to Graham Poll.
Yeah. You now get it in different languages, of course, which is marvellous, or you get equivalents of it.
Yeah.
In the world of football.
Jose Mourinho, exactly.
Well, Frankie Bunn, we're just chatting about him because he's the older manager and they came through last night. Maybe they're on for another big cup run themselves. And Andy is coming out for some TV formats, Frankie. And Aaron gives us Belgian Bun, a review of Belgium's FA and their golden generation.
That's a bit dry.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Frankie Bun. Welcome to Brussels. Join me now for a Belgian bun. Chelsea bun. Frankie takes a walk down the Fulham Road, discusses its history and architecture.
Well, fair
enough. He's taking work off of Suggs, by the sound of that. That's from Gab Cancello. Go on then, why not? We're going to have a Clips of the Week special on Thursday. We've raided the archives for a Wayne Rooney special, of course. It's Wayne turning out for England on Thursday night. So you've got a bumper Clips of the Week. We'll have the regular ones on Friday, but a Wayne Rooney special from the archive on Thursday. Plus, we'll be joined by the author of Rooney Tunes, the seminal work on the England's record goal scorer. Mike Parry will be joining us, of course, amongst other people, pay tribute to Wayne on Thursday.
That's good. He's right from an early, to be fair to Mike, even when Wayne was about 16, he was mad about him.
I told you, I saw his full debut.
Oh, yeah.
When he was 16, played against Spurs in a 2-2 draw at Goodison, first game of the season. So yeah. Everybody had been, I had a mate was an Evertonian, of course, and he was raving about him. And so we knew what to expect, and blimey, he was good. I think he set up Pembridge's goal. He made a goal and went off, played about an hour. But even at 16, man, we kind of knew about him from youth football.
Special
Another
player.
Person we knew about, of course, was Joe Cole, because when we were working on fantasy football, the runner on the show, Richard Ackerman, who went on to be a big executive producer, of course, in the world of TV, but he was a big West Ham fan. And we were giving him some clog, and maybe a Tottenham had just beaten West Ham. And he's saying, just you wait. Just you wait, Joe Cole's coming through. He'll be in the first team this time next year.
Well, he was
and
good.
He'll sort you out.
Yeah.
And he was always telling us, he'd been watching, going to the Resi games and watching Joe Cole play. And again, there was a buzz about him. So it has been some career. I mean, I saw a quote today where he said, as you look back on your career, he said, well, if I match it against Messi's, it's not that great. But against 99.9% of other professionals, it's been pretty good. And I think it was pretty good, wasn't
it? We loved him at Chelsea. Yeah. Lovely, lovely guy. Great player. That was his best period for Chelsea.
It was. So good luck to him. I'm sure he'll end up coaching or something like that. He seems keen. And he's done pretty well on the media front, hasn't he? So, best of luck to Joe.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. I think Harry Kewell may be taking to Twitter later on to change his pinned tweet, which goes back to the start of September, when he says, I'm delighted to join Notts County as head coach. Alan Hardy has great ambitions for the club. I'm excited to be part of it.
Oh, 10
weeks.
Shame, really.
I know it
ten
is.
Weeks
is. 10 weeks
it's
later.
Ridiculous. They obviously had some massive difference of opinion about how the club should be run and what they were going for. But
yeah,
it does seem a shame, really.
That's the point that's been made earlier on Twitter. Four managers in the championship in the last 48 hours have lost their job. Neil Ardley, of course, Harry Kewell. Who else has gone? The Shrewsbury manager has gone, hasn't he? John Askey. That's right. And typical. I can only think of two of them there.
Don't worry about it. Well, obviously,
it'll come back.
It'll
come back. Don't worry about it.
No, obviously, from their point of view, it's not good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this picture of Ronaldo. He's in London for the tennis and the O2 Arena. He was watching Novak Djokovic against John Isner.
Yeah.
And he caught one in the crowd. You see that?
Yeah.
One-handed, but then he dropped it.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if it's like the cricket. Do you get like a grand if you sort of take a one-handed catch in the crowd?
I doubt. Not with a tennis ball. It's not that difficult.
He could have done with the money.
Yeah. Anyway. It was Phil Brown, wasn't it? That was the other manager I couldn't think of.
Oh, well, Phil Brown was Swindon. In the crowd.
Yeah, Phil Brown was there. Well, I don't know if he would have thought I'd go and watch the tennis. But yeah, he's gone, isn't he, as well, from Swindon. Yeah. Four managers. That's it.
So Harry Redknapp has said that the pay packet for I'm a Celebrity is irrelevant to him.
Yeah.
Blimey, it is about 250 grand for 3 weeks, but you make the point that he doesn't need the money.
He doesn't.
I'd say anybody, that is a lot of money.
I think it's that old, you know, that old working class thing of it doesn't matter how much money you got. If someone offers you that much money for basically sitting around for a couple of weeks...
Yeah.
And having a chat with people, which I'm sure Harry is happy to do, you just cannot say no, can you, really?
That sort of money, you'd have to think about it, even though, I mean, I absolutely...
You're saying you wouldn't do it, though,
well, I don't
you
like
wouldn't do
snakes.
It for any money.
I don't like snakes, rats,
well, I'm not
insects.
Keen on rats, but, I mean, have you? Couldn't you overcome your fears, mate, for 250 grand?
Not really, no.
Don't like creepy crawlies. You won't eat airplane food.
Well,
so
you're
going to sit there and eat gonads, are you?
Really
not going to do that, or just live on rice?
That.
You'd get very bad tempered. You'd be great on there because you'd be so horrible, and people would keep you in because I think you'd start off really nice, and they'd say, "Isn't he a lovely bloke?" But you know, a couple of rats, a couple of gonad sandwiches, and then the next thing, he'd turn.
Yeah, but also the public would
We wouldn't see the real side of you, I don't think.
The public would just decide that to pick me for every trial.
Yeah, they would. They would. Come on, let's get him on.
Have you ever done this? I went to a restaurant on Saturday night. And
it wasn't a Bush Tucker trial, was it?
Well, it might well have been. Oh, right. I wasn't. It was my fault, actually.
Okay.
Because my friends booked it. And normally, if you're going to go to a new restaurant, you kind of check, see what's on the menu.
Yeah, yeah.
I got there, sat there. There was not one thing on the menu that I wanted or could eat.
Not one. Not one.
Or, well, yeah, or felt like eating.
Can they knock you up a steak and chips or something?
They didn't.
So what did you have to compromise with then?
I only had one course and I didn't like
one
that
one course. He only had...
I was going to go and TripAdvisor and absolutely... Then I thought, oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm tempted to say, oh, the humanity of you not going to a flash restaurant and finding one thing you want to eat. It's, you know.
No, it's a first world problem.
Maybe we can
crowdfund
something for you, Andy, to find. Couldn't you just go up loudly and say, well, Chippy's still open, I'm getting off. Let them know.
And it was like, it reminded me of that time when we were in Brazil and Goffy had recommended an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
And this place was just that nothing that they ever served would ever be eaten in Italy at any point.
Well, look, it was quick, easy food, and it wasn't covered in dust or rice and chips. They do like to carb it up.
I wasn't happy about it. Anyway, Katie Price has hinted she would love to appear on I'm a Celebrity again.
That's only the third time, wouldn't it?
I know. She said, what a dream come true it would be to get back into I'm a Celebrity. Yeah, dream come true for your bank manager, I'd say, basically.
Now, Frankie Bunn was the victorious manager last night for... Does he call himself Frankie or is he Frank? Has he got older? Has he dropped the Frankie? I don't know. Is he Frank Bunn there?
Yeah.
And he's manager of Oldham, former Oldham player. They won last night in the FA Cup. It was live on the TalkSport 2, of course, with Dance calling the game.
Hmm.
And we're looking for some TV formats. Andy came up with a few to kick you off. Bun Jovi, says James. Frankie goes on tour with the 90s rockers. Bun fight. Frankie is the referee of a dodgeball-style food fight, says Richard. Does my bun look big in this? Frank's fashion show in which he catwalks in the latest clobber. Three sizes too small for him. A must-watch, says Rob.
Excellent.
Bun, sunburner. Frankie is joined by Tottenham's Korean star to discuss the rise in popularity of disposable mobile phones. That's very niche, that, Luke.
The burner.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Bun, sun,
he's watched
burner.
Too many crime dramas.
I think, yes, that's right.
Brilliant.
Bugs Bunny, Room 101 star show, says John from Preston, in which Frankie goes on about what annoys him. Yeah, going to need a bit more meat on the bones, I think. Bungee jumping. Oh, Bun Gigi jumping.
Mm.
Frankie tours all the National Hunt racecourses, tackling the most difficult fences, says Harvey in Chorley. All great ideas. I think Frankie's listening today. He's got some work.
He might take them up. Much. I was looking at a lot of the newspapers to celebrate the end of the war and Armistice Day and everything. Published facsimile newspapers.
They did.
Marvellous.
Did you look at the football?
Well, I didn't see any football, but I saw some of the... I kind of started doing the papers.
Mm.
So this is from November the 12th, 1918. Which is the day after. Because, of course, there was a lot of celebration in the nation.
Yeah.
And here we go. The little town of High Barnet was rejoicing early yesterday. The church bells were pealing joyously and flags fluttered in the wind that always blows at Barnet. I'm not aware of that.
That's not that windy. It's not the windy city, is it? Barnet.
Barnet. Who knew?
Maybe they had a wind... Well, the moose used to live there. They had a wind problem then, didn't they?
Well, it was probably more open. It probably was more windy than it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all trees around there then, wasn't it? You're talking about 90. You probably were, actually. Yeah, of course.
The Duke walks is the headline to this bit.
Oh, yeah.
Those cheerful crowds in the Mall may not be aware they held up a royal duke, because, of course, in 1918, that was a bit of an offence.
Yeah.
The Duke of Connaught and Princess Patricia. Try saying that.
Princess Pat.
Princess Patricia. Who's Princess Patricia?
I don't remember her at all. Plasto Patricia.
Set out in a car.
I won't sing it for you, especially the start.
No. Set out in a car for Buckingham Palace.
Mm.
But in the Mall, the chauffeur could not force his way through the happy mob. Oh, yeah, just run them down, don't worry. You could do in those days.
Yeah, of course, you know.
At last, the Duke and the Princess had to get out and walk. Well, never mind, it's not the end of the world.
Well, it was then, though, wasn't it?
And this one really got me, the final one.
Mm.
3,000 Beauties is the headline. Rush of war workers for Daily Mirror, £1,000 prizes. Then you think about how much.
Wow, a lot of money then.
A lot of money. Another 500 photographs of beautiful women war workers are to be entered into the Daily Mirror £1,000 beauty competition. Competitors now number 3,000.
You sure it's £1,000, not £100?
£1,000 prizes.
Wow.
£1,000 beauty competition. Competition open to all women who have helped win the war. Photographs may be sent in at any time during the next few weeks. There you go.
Wow, that's
I rocked out about 100 grand. That probably was.
Probably more, was it?
Really?
I would have thought it might. Well, I don't know.
You could buy a house for that.
There is a comparison website. Buy a house for it? Probably could buy a few, mate, I would imagine, yes.
Yeah, there you go. So now, that was the papers in 1918 for you.
Yeah, thank you. Breaking news, Mr. Zeitgeist. That's all we got time for now. It's the news in 1918. Now the weather in 1918.
Yes.
And anyway, on a more serious note, this is a nice story. Liam Dacey is a TalkSport listener. He regularly gets in touch and contributes to what we do. And we hear from him on Twitter as well. His son, Kian, they're both Leicester City fans, family Leicester City fans. And I think his son, like a lot of kids, at that sort of age, he's 11. And it's probably the first time they've had to deal. There've been their kind of first experience of loss and seeing adults around them sort of visibly upset by loss. So I think it's probably moved a lot of kids who are Leicester City fans. But he's decided, he said to his dad, "I want to raise some money for the Leicester City Trust." And he's running 60 miles in as many days. He's on a rest day. He's got to work a couple of rest days in.
He's 11, is he?
Yeah, and he's raising money for the foundation, the club's foundation, in honour of Vichai. So it's a fantastic thing.
Oh, well done to him.
And his dad's been running with him sometimes. He's had great support from the club, I know that. So we wish him well with it. So he's having a break today, but he's going to be running all those miles. And they've set up a Just Giving page, and he's kind of smashed through the target. They were looking to raise £600, and they've raised over £1,200 already, so it's captured the imagination. It's had local press, so let's try and get that up a bit. Running 60 miles in 60 days for the Foxes Foundation to show support for Vichai. And so go along to Just Giving, KIANDEACY, KMDC. So go to the Just Giving page and support him on that. We wish Kian all the very best. It's a good story, and I'm sure a lot of people have been moved by what went on.
Did you see that Chris Eubank has been working as a policeman in Louisiana?
He's a marshal, isn't he? Yeah, that's
incredible.
I think it's a bit like being a kind of volunteer officer, isn't it?
Well, he's been working as a police officer in the US. Despite no formal training, who cares?
Stephen Segal did it. Well, they did. You're like a marshal, aren't you? I think he may have taken it on to a different level. So I don't think he's to have 2 years on the beat. He won't be in their version of the bill.
Very strange.
Yeah.
And he was on a plane in Dubai. This was an amazing story, really. He started shouting and saying the plane had to turn back.
Yeah.
But it turned out it's because he'd left some money in the airport.
Yeah.
So obviously, I mean, it's quite an interesting, because all the other passengers got a bit frightened, but it was Chris Eubank. So you sort of think to yourself, well, something out of the ordinary here.
I don't know, Andy. I wasn't there. I mean, if Chris Eubank started shouting, I'd sit up and take notice.
Well, you would take notice, but you wouldn't think, oh, I don't know what you'd think. But you'd think that's Chris Eubank. That's him for you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Joining us now in the studio, mate, and welcome return comedian and Sheffield Wednesday fan. It is Glenn Moore. Hi, Glenn.
Hello, thanks for having me.
People think, well, that's not a particularly thick Sheffield accent, but there is a reason why you are a Sheffield Wednesday fan.
Yes, I was working as a sports reporter up in Sheffield. I didn't have a particular sort of... I was admittedly a bit of a Glory supporter, and Liverpool was sort of mainly my team when I was a kid. And because I was working as a sports reporter for a radio station up in Sheffield, kept going to like the Wednesday press conference every week back when Gary Megson was manager, and just really got into the team from there. It was such a great, like, the whole team spirit, all the main players like Jose Semedo and players like that were just fantastic, like charismatic sort of individuals to sort of be around. It sort of really made me, and this also was the season they got promoted to the Championship. Yeah. So it was just a great sort of thing to follow.
And Derby last week, of course.
Yes, yeah,
it was,
yeah,
a pretty good result overall, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't really know how I feel about the season so far, because the Championship's so tight in the middle. There's about 5 points between about 4th and 17th.
Yeah.
It's like, Sheffield Wednesday, they just keep dropping, and now we're about sort of 17th or so. Well, a bit higher than that, but I just have no idea how the season's going to go, but it just hurts to see Sheffield United doing incredibly well,
yeah,
in comparison. And I know they're going to get promoted to the Premier League, and it feels like a sort of missed opportunity, because we've been in the Championship for so long now. And to have a team that was sort of behind us go from League One and then sort of leapfrog is a bit, not embarrassing, but it's just a bit difficult.
Especially
to watch
the main rivals. Harking back to the glory of the Carvajal days when you were making the playoffs. It's quite a transition from sports journalist to comedian. Was there a point where you were doing both at the same time?
Yeah. It was tricky juggling both of them, because especially in sort of like breakfast radio, yeah, which I'm, you know, sort of still involved in, you sort of getting up at sort of 5 a.m., but you get back from a tour show at about 1 in the morning or so. So I've had to cut out sleep just as an idea, just at all. But other than that, it's sort of good fun to do. You know, it's just the lack of sleep is definitely going to take its toll in the next sort of couple of years. But it's fun. It's fun while it lasts.
You were up for the big award in Edinburgh. You were nominated, weren't you, for the Comedy Award? So
yeah, which was
well done.
Crazy. I was definitely not expecting it at all, and thought, well, I'm definitely sort of a sort of lower division sort of comedian going into this in the first place. So the fact that it came out, it was just such a massive sort of surprise, and it's just sort of really changed everything sort of since.
Do you know when the judges are in?
You can decide if you want to know or not, and I really want to know, because the worst thing is
the sex of the baby, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like if you have a show that goes badly and someone goes, you never has a judge, and you go, oh god, you know. But if there's one in there, you can at least try and change it and try and change your performance if it's not going.
Isn't it a bit
well,
like Gareth Southgate turning up to watch you? Do you want to have Gareth Southgate's in the stands?
Yeah. So I'd know if they're in, because I'd see the blue shirt and the waistcoat just in the back. but it was nerve wracking, and especially like the closer it got to the actual nomination, you end up with about 7 judges coming, like all sat in a row, coming to watch, and you sort of think, right, well, this might actually happen.
And you had a good night, did you? That, I mean, that's good. That proves you could deal with the pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was.
You knew they were there, and you knocked it out of the park.
It was really nice when the nomination came in, and the night of the nomination, the show that night was really, really sort of nice. It was really pleasant. I felt like the audience sort of enjoyed it more as well, because they'd sort of taken a punt on a show before the nomination, and you know, thought that maybe they'd sort of made the right decision to come and watch it. But the days after that were absolutely the worst, because people had bought their tickets after I got nominated, going, apparently this is supposed to be really good.
Arms folded.
Yeah. Pin drop silence, but it was absolutely fine. And like, to be honest, that was absolutely a price I was willing to pay for it. So it was a real treat.
Dynamic of a crowd and the comedy crowd and the way they behave towards you. It's amazing, isn't it? The different factors going on behind it.
I mean, yeah.
I saw you last year and very much enjoyed it. That was the very best of Belinda Carlisle.
That was it.
You were in but it was quite a small venue, and it was very hot. I remember you had to cope with that, which you did pretty well. This year, where was it, a different venue?
Exactly the same room, but this time I had air conditioning.
Ah.
And that was a massive, massive difference.
That's interesting.
I think the biggest difference in audience dynamic is if they are facing each other. So if people are sat at like banquet tables almost, and they're facing each other. That can be a horrible experience, because if one person's not enjoying it, then the person opposite them struggles to enjoy it because they're looking into the face of someone who isn't enjoying it. And that spreads across the whole table. And you can just see it happening. You can see it happening. There's no science behind it, but that's just, you can just watch it happen. There's nothing you can do.
Now, part of the show, Glenn, how do you like it? How do you like it?
Yes.
That's right. you talk about trying to, you applied for the Mars One initiative.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So it came out about 5 years ago, and I just thought, why not? Because I saw it come out and they said anyone could apply, like, as long as you're over the age of 18, didn't matter who you were, qualifications, anything like that. And so I decided to give it a go with the aim of, if I did get selected, I was definitely going to turn it down, because there's no way, I'd want to go, but you just want to, you know, it's nice to be asked.
Yeah, the thing is, if you're the only stand-up on Mars and it's not going well,
yeah,
really, you're the comp. Anyway, let's welcome this guy. That's enough from me. Let's welcome out, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn Moore. It's Glenn Moore. He does a few impressions.
Yeah, I thought there's no way they're going to choose me, because I thought comedy is an absolutely useless career when you're trying to sort of colonise a planet. But I applied it. It was just like loads of application forms you had to fill in, and then it all just went a bit quiet.
How far did you get?
Well, they haven't chosen the people yet, and I haven't been told no. So
you're still in the list.
Who knows? Yes, still potentially in the running.
You might be there to supply the funny. They might decide that's what they need.
They're kind of
take people from different skills, like a kind of odd sort of superhero thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Comedy is the most useless one. That is absolutely the most useless one.
The info for the week-long run that you're doing at the Soho Theatre, it says that you've got the highest joke per minute ratio on the circuit. Who actually monitored this?
I don't know if anyone did. I counted up how many I had, because I just wanted to sort of know. But it's I think people just took a wild swing at it and just sort of went.
You didn't go around other shows and thought, now,
stopwatch.
That's what I used to do that on the way home from gigs. This is really embarrassing. But I used to record the gig I was doing, and then on the train back, just sit there and then have the stopwatch app on my phone while I listen back to it and just sort of go, oh, I went 15 seconds without, I probably need one there. And it was just a pathetic thing to do.
That's amazing, though. I mean, Tim Vine's got a very high joke per minute.
He's got a way higher one than me.
Oh, you reckon?
He must do. He really does.
That's not necessarily, I mean, Tim's a funny man, but I'm saying that's not necessarily what you're always looking for.
No, absolutely.
It's not the amount of gags per second, is it really? Or minute, really?
But you can sort of wear an audience down with it, can't you? Do you know what I mean? You can wear them into submission.
Well, is that what you're looking to do?
Well, not me.
Beat them into comedy submission. That's enough. Yeah. No mass. Roberto Duran in the front row. I can't take any more. But I can't take any more. That's show four.
There we go.
For
that's the next year's show title. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
So, Glenn, how do you like it? It's going to be at the Soho Theatre. If you live in London or you're coming down, you fancy a bit of comedy.
Jolly good venue for comedy.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah, in the heart of London's busy West End. Some good pubs around there. Nice little buy in the Soho Theatre itself, actually. But there we are. 19th to the 24th of this month.
Monday.
See you. And you're a busy writer as well. You write a lot of stuff, don't you, for different people?
So I'm writing on the MASH Report at the moment, which is a really fun show to be part of. And it's kind of exciting to write a show that has a really sort of tight turnaround. You've got to write about everything that's happened that week or that day.
Yeah.
And that's a bit different to when you're sort of writing stand-up, because you can write about whatever you want and whenever you want, really. So it's kind of a different sort of skill, but it's great fun. It's a great show.
And are you aware of the TV show Cheers? Do you remember that from back in the day, Glenn?
Huge fan of Cheers. Yeah. And it's spin-off Frasier, which I'm going to argue was better.
Well, I give you then on that basis, in case we didn't talk about it last time, but Jos Lahuque as Cliff Clavin. From Cheers.
He
does look like Cliff. If you put him in an American postal worker's outfit.
Yeah, absolutely. Sit him next to Norm, then you've absolutely got the champagne birthday manager. Yeah.
Fantastic. Sit him next to Mark Crossley. We should get them together. Fantastic. Good to see you.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. There were many more buns we never got round to.
It was quite a lot there.
I mean, they're still on the system somewhere.
I always feel bad when people actually...
But there was we were just too busy, and it got too busy. Ten of them.
Wasted their entire afternoon.
Well, not really. You know, they make a contribution. It's up to us, really, whether we choose to use them or not.
I know how disappointing it is to write to a newspaper and not get published.
Oh, I know you're a published author. Yeah. The very top level. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, Thursday's Wayne Rooney Day here on TalkSport. We will have a dozen fine clips featuring the young England starlet that was. So until then, have a fine evening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.